Temple. Whitefawn Abbey, Devonshire, November 1819. He woke with a splitting head and a hard cock. The situation was not uncommon. He had, after all, woken each day for more than half a decade with one of the items in question, and on more mornings than he could count with both. William Harrow, Marquis of Chapin and heir to the Dukedom of Lamont, was wealthy, titled, privileged, and handsome, and a young man blessed with those traits rarely wanted for anything relating to wine or women. So it was that on this morning he did not fret, knowing, as skilled drinkers do, that the splitting head would dissipate by midday. He moved to cure the other affliction, and, without opening his eyes, reached for the female, no doubt nearby. Except she wasn't. Instead of a handful of warm, willing flesh, William came up with a handful of unsatisfying pillow. He opened his eyes, the bright light of the Devonshire sun assaulting his senses and emphasizing the thundering in his head. He cursed, draped one forearm over his closed eyes, sunlight burning red behind the lids, and took a deep breath. Daylight was the fastest way to ruin a morning. Likely, it was for the best that the woman from the previous evening had disappeared, though the memory of lovely, lush breasts, a mane of auburn curls, and a mouth made for sin did bring with it a wave of regret. She had been gorgeous. And in bed... in bed she'd been... He stilled. He couldn't remember. Surely he hadn't had that much drink, had he? She'd been long and full of curves, made just the way he liked his women, a match for the height and breadth that was too often his curse when it came to them. He did not like feeling like he might crush a girl, and she'd had a smile that made him think of innocence and sin all at once. She'd refused to tell him her name, refused to hear his. Utter perfection. And her eyes. He'd never seen eyes like hers, one the blue of the summer sea, and one just on the edge of green. He'd spent too long looking at those eyes, fascinated by them, wide and welcoming. They'd crept through the kitchens and up the servants' stairs. She'd poured him a scotch, and that was all he remembered. Good Lord. He had to stop drinking. Just as soon as today was over, he would need drink to survive his father's wedding day, the day William gained his fourth stepmother. Younger than all the others, younger than him, and very, very rich. Not that he'd met her, this paragon of bridliness. He'd meet her at the ceremony, and not before, just as he'd done the other three. And then, once the familial coffers had been once again filled, he would leave. Back to Oxford, having done his duty and played the role of doting son. Back to the glorious, libidinal life that belonged to heirs to dukedoms, filled with drink and dice and women, and not a worry in the world. Back to the life he adored. But tonight, he would honour his father and greet his new mother and pretend that he cared for the sake of propriety. And perhaps, after he was done playing the role of heir, he'd seek out the playful young thing from the gardens and do his best to recall the events of the night before. Thank heaven for country estates and well-attended nuptials. There wasn't a female in creation who could resist the sexual lure of a wedding, and because of that, William had a great affinity for holy matrimony. How lucky that his father had such a knack for it. He grinned and stretched across the bed, throwing one arm wide across the cool linen sheets. Cold linen sheets. Cold, wet linen sheets. What in hell? His eyes flew open. It was only then that he realized it wasn't his room. It wasn't his bed. And the red wash across the bedsheets, dampening his fingers with its sticky residue, was not his blood. Before he could speak or move or understand, the door to the strange bedchamber opened and a maid appeared, fresh-faced and eager. There were a dozen different things that could have gone through his mind at that moment, 100 of them. And yet, in the fleeting seconds between the young maid's entrance and her notice of him, William thought of only one thing, that he was about to ruin the poor girl's life.